Here in Budapest, it's somewhat late sending off this podcast. However, I had a longish program this morning, which I'll talk about, and thereafter left the farm, and I'm in Budapest right now. And I will be here for another week. It's cloudy and rainy and a real fall day. This morning we had a, I'm thinking of a name to give it because in my talk describing it, I didn't want to call it a reinitiation, but it was to facilitate the previous or ex-disciples of Balabhadra Prabhu, his story. Probably most of you who are listening here have seen on the Dandavats.com site. If not, then you can read on it there. There's a report there by the GBC executive. Basically, it talks about his stepping down from sannyas and guruship, and also seems like stepping out of ISKCON. Anyhow, we'd been really dealing with that issue here in Hungary since springtime, and having sort of informed devotees, helped them work through the trauma of that, and the latest development since Shanamastami that Balabhadra decided to leave ISKCON and strike out on his own, made the whole situation of his relationship or lack of relationship with his disciples quite black and white. So some of the senior disciples here, not mine, but who were Balabhadra's disciples, they didn't see any reason to continue with a non-existent relationship with someone who'd abandoned Prabhupada's very basic instruction to all of us to sort out our issues within ISKCON. So anyway, this morning we had a ceremony in which those devotees who wanted a new name, they received a new name. All the Brahmins received Gayatri Mantra again. And we had a fire ceremony. This all took place at the farm in the presence of the devotees and deities there. I'm not calling it the reinitiation ceremony because I really didn't think that it was doing justice to the devotees to say that they needed to be reinitiated. And I'm going to propose that even that terminology sort of is dropped, at least in official ISKCON circles. The reason I say that the word reinitiation is not so suitable is because these devotees, they didn't do anything that required them to be reinitiated, or even for that matter, to take the vows of initiation. They got abandoned by their spiritual master, but they had made a commitment to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Srila Prabhupada, to ISKCON. They maintained faith in the holy name of the Lord. They continued on with the regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds a day. So somehow or another, I really wanted to separate that from what we generally view as an initiation, because reinitiation means you just do the same thing that happens when you first got initiated. Jiva Goswami says, Puna Mantra, that if necessary, one may hear mantra again, but this word reinitiation I haven't found as a, at least traditional or scriptural statement. Anyway, I prefaced my talk at that meeting by apologizing to the devotees, as I'd done to devotees in Scotland, that being GBC, I was ultimately responsible for what happened or at least the direction in which Balabhadra was going in. And it was something that I really wanted to avoid taking place in Hungary. I wanted to avoid devotees having to go through that painful situation of having to lose a spiritual master. But despite those intentions, that's what ended up happening. And then because there was no other type of initiations here, in other words, there were no devotees who were actually getting initiated as one does the first time. These were only for ex-disciples of Balabhadra Das. I emphasized the difference between the situation of these devotees and a devotee who's newly initiated. And although I chanted on their beads, gave them new beads, and those who requested new names, but I didn't ask them to take vows. I'd discussed it earlier with Niranjan Maharaj, and the conclusion was that they already took vows. Their vows are intact by dint of their service and surrender, their individual historical record. These are all surrendered, faithful devotees. And so we had a fire yagya, and after the fire yagya, I spoke Gayatri Mantra again to the brahmanas. And I read from the one place in Srimad Bhagavatam where Srila Prabhupada talks about rejecting the spiritual master and when a devotee should do that. I'm going to read that verse in purport also here. And you'll find that in the 20th chapter of the 8th canto, where Shukadeva Goswami said, O King Parikshit, when Bali Maharaj was thus advised by his spiritual master Shukracharya, his family priest, he remained silent for some time, and then after full deliberation, he replied to his spiritual master as follows. And now Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur remarks that Bali Maharaj remained silent at a critical point. How could he disobey the instructions of Shukracharya, his spiritual master? It is the duty of such a sober personality as Bali Maharaj to abide by the orders of his spiritual master immediately, as his spiritual master had advised. But Bali Maharaj also considered that Shukracharya was no longer to be accepted as a spiritual master, for he had deviated from the duty of a spiritual master. According to Shastra, the duty of the guru is to take the disciple back home, back to Godhead. If he is unable to do so and instead hinders the disciple in going back to Godhead, he should not be a guru. Guru or Anasatsyat. One should not become a guru if he cannot enable his disciple to advance in Krishna consciousness. The goal of life is to become a devotee of Lord Krishna so that one may be freed from the bondage of material existence. The spiritual master helps the disciple attain the stage by developing Krishna consciousness. Now Shukracharya had advised Bali Maharaj to deny the promise to Vamadeva. Under the circumstances, therefore, Bali Maharaj thought that there would be no fault if he disobeyed the order of his spiritual master. He deliberated on this point. Should he refuse to accept the advice of his spiritual master, or should he independently do everything to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He took some time, therefore it is said, Tushnim Bhutva Kshanam Rajan Huvacha Vahito Gurum. After deliberating on this point, he decided that Lord Vishnu should be pleased in all circumstances, even at the risk of ignoring the Guru's advice to the contrary. Anyone who is supposed to be a guru but who goes against the principles of Vishnu Bhakti cannot be accepted as a guru. If one has falsely accepted such a guru, one should reject him. Such a guru is described as follows. Guru Ravigletasya Karya Karya Majanata Utpata Pratipanasya Parityago Vidhiyate. Srila Jiva Goswami has advised that such a useless guru, a family priest acting as a guru, should be given up and that the proper bona fide guru should be accepted. Sat karma nipunovi pramantra tantra visharada Vaishnava guru nasyad Vaishnava svapacho guru. A scholarly Brahmin expert in all subjects of Vedic knowledge is unfit to become a spiritual master without being a Vaishnava. But if a person born in the family of a lower caste is a Vaishnava, he can become a spiritual master. Guru Rapyavaliptasya. This verse, Srila Prabhupada doesn't translate. It says that if a spiritual master becomes bewildered. He doesn't know what to do, what not to do. If he walks and directs his disciples on the wrong path or becomes intoxicated by pride, parityago vidiyate, then that person should be rejected. In this case, the issue didn't start off as a matter of rejection. It was a matter of Balabhadra already recognizing his lack of qualification to act in the capacity of a disciple, a spiritual master. But this verse in Srila Prabhupada's purport strengthens the facts that when the guru really is bewildered about how to act and not to act, then leaving ISKCON is indicative of being bewildered. When he doesn't really understand the cause of his own actions or the consequences of them, then that person certainly cannot guide one in spiritual life. Of course, it's not a cause of celebration, it's a cause of lamentation, not only on part of the disciples, but on part of the guru himself, Balabhadra, that certainly someone who did valuable service for Srila Prabhupada's movement. However, valuable service is not enough in the absence of good conduct, and it's not a replacement for good conduct or an excuse for bad conduct. Both things have to be there. One has to be a good preacher, and one also has to behave properly. And devotees are often a little stumped, thinking, well, if someone who has been practicing Krishna consciousness for such a long time can become so misled, then what of me? One aspect of the answer is that it's quite fortunate that devotees who ask those questions aren't in the position of guruship or leadership or sannyas. In other words, being a humble, simple Vaishnav is a very safe position to be in. And although there may be what some call perks in taking leadership roles, but there's also very high stakes. So if we just stay as humble Vaishnavs, chant Hare Krishna, be strict with the regulative principles, morning program, regular reading with Srila Prabhupada's books, and being in touch with Vaishnavas, being able to hear from other devotees and accept their guidance and direction, then certainly we'll advance in Krishna consciousness. As Krishna says, Bahava Jnana Tapasa Putramad Bhava Magata. Bahava, many, many people, Krishna says, they attain transcendental love for me. So we should continue on our path towards transcendental love for Krishna undeterred. And even though we may go through such tribulations as seeing senior Vaishnavas abandon the path, still we should not. We should continue on, for we have come for Krishna, and we shouldn't let anything deter us from attaining his lotus feet, Hare Krishna.